Morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How we doing this morning? Goodness gracious. Y'all tired? Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How we doing this morning? Yeah. Come on and clap with us. got a lot of space open up here. If you'd love to come to the altar, we'd love to accept you up here. Hallelujah. Come on and sing this with me. Say,
His Tabernacle, how we doing today? Wow, it's great to see all of you guys. Happy Women's Day. Welcome. Welcome. If you are new here, hello. Welcome. Over on that side of the church, after service, we have a guest reception room. We would love to get to meet you. We would love to eat donuts with you because, I mean, we love donuts and we love you. So if you're new here, join us. Join us for donuts. Also, next Sunday, at 9, 11, and 6 p.m., and then on Monday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have a prophet named Andre Bonkhurst coming in. It's going to be a great week, couple days of special services. So go ahead, grab your kids, grab your mom, grab your aunt, bring them. We're going to have a lot of fun hanging out together. Then, May 28th, we have our annual motorcycle blessing. This is a really cool opportunity for us to get to serve and love on some people who may not be like us. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not a motorcycle guy. This guy is, you know. So if you would like to volunteer at the Motorcycle Blessing, contact Jamie Garrett or sign up at the welcome desk out in the foyer. Then this Wednesday, May 11th at 9 a.m. at Curly's Chicken House, we have our senior breakfast. Now, again, I love food, so I will be here. I identify as a senior just so I can go eat food with my favorite group of people. So if you identify as a senior, or if you don't and you're 50 years and older, come join us. And join us. Join us. And Isaiah will be there too. Now, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. One man raised his hand to receive Jesus this morning. The altars were full. Mindy is ripping and tearing. I think you're going to enjoy today. Welcome to Women's Day. A lot of people ask us, why is it Women's Day and not Mother's Day? It was when we first began the church. I remember we had our very first Mother's Day, and a woman started crying. And it was very catchy. So afterwards, I asked her, I said, why are you crying? I don't understand. She said, I've always wanted to have a child and was not able to. She said, so this isn't a good day for me. This is a bad day for me. And I said, well, you know something? I think that we need to change this. Because I thank God for ladies, amen? I thank God there are only two genders instead of 101. Amen. And in this house, I thank God. I watched my wife give birth. That's all I got to say. I thank God I'm a man. And I honor all women. Glory to the Lord. So I thank God whether you are a mother in the house or whether you're a young lady in the house. Maybe you've never had a baby and you're in the house. Man, there's a lot of reason why people haven't had babies. Or maybe you're just a spiritual mom. Anyway, you are a lady, and we thank God for your life. God bless you. Amen? How many of you are glad for the ladies in your life today? Amen. What kind of donuts do we have? Why don't you come show them to me, young man? I think I'll do the jelly. Just put it right over there by my table. I just stole that from the guest reception room, so I'll see you there later. Amen. Are you ready for the presence of the Lord? I know that we're going to enter into worship. I know the message. God's going to touch you. God's going to change you. God's going to challenge you. I pray that today you allow the Holy Spirit to challenge your life on this special day. Some of you men are saying, but what's this got to do with me? Everything when you hear the message. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus. Whoop, I heard that. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every single name, the name that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. God, we submit our lives to you, and we declare that you are a good God and greatly to be praised. We exalt your name and declare that you are the I am that I am, that you are from everlasting to everlasting, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the healer, that you are the deliverer, that you are the I am that I am. We invite you, we extol you, we raise you up, Jesus, and you said you'll draw all men to yourself. So today, God, we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're going to lay aside what's happened on the way to church. We're going to lay aside the problems that we've had. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're going to declare that you are a good God and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, I said in Jesus' name, I said in Jesus' name, amen.
Y'all know this song. Come on and sing it with me. Say, say you are.
You are the one I want. You are the one I need.
Come on and shout this out.
This world can have it all. It can take everything.
But I want Jesus. Sing this as loud as you can. Say,
give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke these and took away my sin. There is only one for me.
Come on and sing that.
You are.
God, we make a real clear declaration. We don't only need you, we want you. God, we love the fact that you're in our lives. We love, Jesus, that we can love on you and your presence will overwhelm us, that your presence will become so real to us. God, I release even now a tangible presence of heaven in this place. That, Lord, not one will leave this place without saying, surely I've been in the house of the Lord. God, we need you. But more than that, we want you. We pursue you, Jesus. It's all about you. God, not about what we can accomplish, not about what we want. We lay our lives down on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And then we sing this song one more time. It's all about you.
All about you.
Come on, sing to Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all
about you. We worship your name.
It's all about you.
One more time.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Someone has issues with your left ankle, and literally the pain wraps completely around it. I sense in my spirit that it's arthritis. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke right now the spirit of arthritis on the body. I curse it, command it to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. I command, Father, that the joints, the tendons, and everything be perfectly whole and healthy. I command all the pain to stop right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you care about every need in our life. Isn't that a strange one, Lord? Middle finger on the left hand, down near the bottom joint near your knuckle. Having pain there, you know, that one's one that's really cool because that's just showing somebody as insignificant as others would seem. But to you, that hurts every time you move it. God is healing you right now. And when he does, and as he does, you need to receive it. But not only receive it, you need to give him glory for it. Amen. And you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt. See, this is something not big to people, but this is God showing you. I even know the small things about you. Someone's having teeth problems on the top right-hand side in the name of Jesus. I speak to any infection, I curse it in Christ's name. And I command the pain to cease and desist in Jesus' name. Lord, I command even a brand new tooth to be deposited in the face. God, brand new. Lord, let's step it up. Lord, let it be gold. I pray, Father, let it be a gold tooth for the glory of heaven. Jesus, you did that decades ago. You were doing that all over the nation. Gold teeth being deposited in the faces. And God, I declare it in Jesus' name, even today. Someone's having a problem with your left eye. There's actual, it almost feels like a pin going just like, let me see, what clock would that be? 7 o'clock. And around the 7 o'clock area, there's like a little pin. It feels like a little pin sometimes poking into your eyeball. God is healing you right now. I rebuke right now the spirit of blindness that's trying to take away your sight in Jesus' name. You foul devil, I bind you in the name of Christ, and I command you to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Lord, I just say, we love you. You are so good to us. And Lord, today we are honored to be in your presence. Sometimes, God, we forget. We forget how honored we are to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Lord, today we bow our hearts, we bow our heads, and we declare, thank you for the honor of being where you are, O Majesty, O God, O Lord, O Savior. We worship your name. Come on, that person with your ankle, you need to start moving that ankle in the name of Jesus. The pain is gone from the front. Now it's down near the Achilles heel area. In Jesus' name, I command it to go right now. I said go right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your family. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming soon. And thank you for all the ladies in the house. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way back to your chair, can you say hi to at least five folks? Now, listen now. Don't go sit down. Don't go sit down. Don't be a snob now. No snobbing in this house. Jesus wasn't a snob. Go find somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say hello. You look just marvelous today. Tell somebody, you look just marvelous today.
Good morning.
Say good morning. Good morning.
Say, say happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I got a boy.
She went to a water park, and she has to tell everybody about it. It was about a month ago, but, you know, we're still excited about it. If you're on, say hi. Let us know where you're watching from, and let us know if you have any Mother's Day plans. Did you want to say something?
I had so much fun at the pool park.
She had so much fun at the pool park. So, yeah, let us know where you're watching. I'm looking at my phone to see who's on and what plans you have and how everyone's doing. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be in the 60s this afternoon. I feel like a news anchor now. I'm a news weather anchor person. So I see Brenda Lewis was on. Hey, Brenda.
I so stoked to outdoor that.
Okay. Nope. We're not doing that. So, yeah, let us know if you're on. There's 12 people on. You're just staring at me. Uh-oh. You want to sing them a song?
This is a little my acclamation. This is a little my acclamation.
Woohoo! Good morning, Chris. Yeah, we're getting it. Anyone else on? How's everyone doing? We're super excited for Mindy to be preaching today. It was awesome. This morning first service was incredible, so you do not want to miss this if you haven't. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to Alyssa, if she's listening. I hope all is well. What, babe? We're talking about something over here. We have all the songs in our spirit this morning. Every single song. Yeah, girl, you sing it.
Shout!
Shout! We gotta sing it out. Good morning, Edwin. Hope you have a good day. That is you. Well, we hope you have a great Mother's Day, and we will see you very soon, hopefully. So happy Mother's Day to all the
awesome.
Mothers
well,
that
hey
are
guys,
out there.
It's great
we'll
to have you in the house of God today. Anybody excited and love Jesus in the room? Awesome, awesome. Hey, guys. Oh, most of you probably know Tammy, but if you don't, this is Tammy. And she runs our Matthew 25 ministry, which helps feed kids under 18. Oh, kids under sixth grade, sixth and under. And she's got some amazing things that have been happening over there. She wants to share them with you. So, here you go.
Thank you, Pastor Cody. We serve kindergarten through sixth grade on Wednesday nights. We're at this time serving between 75 and 85 children a night. Started this ministry 8.5 years ago. Many of us have been planting and planting and planting and planting for a number of years with great, great challenges. If any of you have been here on a Wednesday night, you understand. I want you to know every single one of those challenges are worth it. more than worth it. We have started in the last several weeks having some of my kitchen help come in half an hour early and go throughout the building in every classroom and pray and just bring in the anointing before the children even arrive. We've seen some breakthrough with that. We have seen salvations in Matthew 25 over the years. Don't get me wrong. They've been there. They're coming. It has not been a waste of anyone's time. But the last few weeks and just bringing in that anointing has been huge. 2 weeks ago, I had the Holy Spirit really say to me, there's an anointing here for healing. And so I asked permission to go with a couple of other women through the classrooms and start praying. And it turned out to be like, hey, does anybody want prayer? And we were hearing, I mean, the kids were flocking. I was really surprised, especially the sixth graders, which are a little older, they're embarrassed, their peers are there. We had sixth graders coming to us and saying, hey, can you pray for me? I'm being bullied at school. I'm suicidal. I'm talking about my girlfriend, and she's a girl. And, you know, just multiple different things where we're able to pray, and they're hungry, and they're wanting that prayer. This past week, one of my volunteers was in the classroom with 7 to 8-year-olds. Two girls asked for a baptism in the Holy Ghost and got it. Two little girls, I believe 8 years old. And after they received it, they laid hands on two other little girls, you know, because when one girl has it, the other girl has to have it. It's like going to the bathroom together, you know. But these other two little girls prayed for the other two girls in the pews who also received it. Four of them, aged 7 to 8 years old, baptized in the Holy Ghost. These kids are coming from really challenging environments. And us having them for an hour a week is great. But when we send them back home, when we send them back to school and back into environments that are toxic, I mean, us as adults that are already grounded in the Lord, or should be if you're not, you'll work on that after Mindy talks to you today. But anyways, how do we expect these kids to go into their environments and even sustain, let alone grow, with what we've given them? The power is in the Holy Ghost. So we are equipping them with power to go forth into their environments. So if you have volunteered in the Matthew 25, I just want you to stand. You guys are amazing. I appreciate every one of you. Your planting, your sowing has not been in vain. And I believe the harvest is now. And we will be plucking these kids from the hands of the enemy. And I thank you and I honor you guys. It's awesome to serve alongside of you.
I thought you were going to cry. Hey, and if you want to help out, if you're looking for something to do, Matthew 25 on Wednesdays is great. And you just saw the lady to talk to. So she's pretty easy to find. But if you're looking for something to do, I think that's an amazing outlet and opportunity. What better than to feed people? Get some leftovers, praise God. Some mac and cheese, hallelujah. All right, I'm done. But hey, we're going to transition our service to a time of tithes and offerings. And people often get weird and funny when we talk about money and when anybody talks about money. And it's kind of a taboo topic, isn't it? When people, well, how much do you make? Or how much was this? Or we get really taboo about things. But I believe that God wants to be involved in everything in our life. Not because he wants to be a taker, but because he's a giver. A lot of people agree with us. Yeah, this is good. God doesn't want to be a taker. He wants to be a giver. And he has a way to do everything. And he's got a way to be successful in everything. And last week, we talked about the fact that I believe that from now until the day of Pentecost, June 5th, it'll be the fifth chapter of June, that we're going to start to see absolute breakthrough in things that we're believing in faith for. What does that mean? Like businesses, I believe, that you've had in your heart, launch, raises, promotions, people that owed you money that you never thought it was going to come through, that God's going to start to show himself strong on our behalf, because it's not just our giving, but it's our giving in faith and standing on what God asks us to do and what we're believing God to do is what helps create breakthrough. Anyone write on their envelope last week what they're believing for? Amen. I'm believing that you guys are going to be messaging me, telling me your testimonies and what God is doing on your behalf. But I was thinking about it as well, and I believe that look, if we're going to preach it, it's got to come from the Bible. That's better, that's better, that's better. I didn't realize that we fell asleep in second service. But Psalm 23 is great, and most of the time you only ever hear this psalm at like a funeral, which is crazy because I don't believe it's a psalm about death. I believe it's a psalm about life. Psalm 23 says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this is David declaring, "God's my shepherd." And here's the truth. A shepherd is one that will lead you, feed you, and protect you. And when we have a shepherd, we can be led, fed, and protected in whatever area we're willing to follow. Whatever area we're willing to follow. And David said this. He said, "When God's my shepherd, I lie down in green pastures. I go to still waters. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. That he prepares a table for me before my enemies. That he anoints my head with oil, that my cup runs over." And I thought, how powerful is this? That when God's my shepherd, and let's talk about it in context of our finances. When God's the shepherd and leading me in my finances, he's gonna make it simple. He's gonna make it flowing. When things don't look good, I can be assured because I know God's right there with me. That when someone's coming against me, I'm eating in front of them because God's my shepherd. That I'm gonna have an overflow because my cup overflows. What a powerful thought that when God's my shepherd, everything's all right. And then this is the last part of Psalm 23. This is so powerful. He says, "And surely," not sometimes, not accidentally, not at moments, but surely, certainly, "goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Here's the flip, ready? Goodness and mercy are most people's God. They're chasing goodness. They're chasing mercy. And I have my mental image of this ready is like a dog chasing their tail. Because goodness and mercy should be chasing you. You're not chasing it. But when you're chasing what should be chasing you, you just go in circles and you get frustrated. And when you catch it, it hurts. But if God is your shepherd, as fast as you run is as fast as goodness and mercy should be chasing you. You want more goodness? You want more mercy? You want to lie down in green pastures? You want these things in your life? Chase God in every area he's called you to chase him. And you'll start to see him come true. Man, think about this. Wherever we obey God is what we get from God. Think about it. God said, man, I've never seen my seed out begging for bread or forsaken. You're good. If you obey God, you're good. You know, it says that I desire that you shall prosper even as your soul prospers. You know, I believe that God wants us to prosper, but it's not when we chase what everybody else is chasing. It's when we chase God, when we put him first above everything else. And that's not just in eternity, but that's while we're here on earth. And why would I want you to give? Because I want you to be blessed. Why do I want to encourage you to sow and believe in faith? Because I want to see goodness and mercy chase you even faster than anything else in this world. Amen? Here's what I want you to do. On your envelope, will you write down? Maybe you did it last week. Write it again as a statement of faith. I'm believing God's going to do this in my life. And pray big. You know, last week I wrote some big things. I have some things I've been working on. Like, I want to pay off our church building. I got some things I've been working on, and my goal is to pay off our building. I'm like, well, that's crazy. Yes, it is, but I'm believing for it. I wrote that down. God, I want to pay off our church. Not y'all, I want to pay off our church. You know, write that thing down in faith. What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want him to do on your behalf? If you're doing it this week for the first time, we're going to believe it in faith that God's going to show himself strong on your behalf. We do things a little bit different here too. We bring our offering to the Lord. Also, you don't have to give anything to come here. You don't have to give anything to do anything here. It's not a membership. It's from your heart. You know, what do you want to do on behalf of God? It's free will. So don't feel obligated unless you want to see God and goodness and mercy chase you down. Amen? You guys can go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to give our tithes and offerings, and Pastor is going to do our supernatural declaration.
Praise the Lord. How many believe the Bible is true? Shout it out loud. This is the word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. Come on now, get that big basket. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream, this is your moment. This is your church. This is where you go. Right here, right online. I wanted you to grab, get online and or text to give. Because you want to be a tither and a sower, just as Pastor Cody was just saying. So we'll see you in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be a child of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're excited that today you're in the house. Every Mother's Day, every Woman's Day, we always take an offering for Pastor Rhonda. And as you know, Pastor Rhonda is no longer here or needing an offering. Say amen. She is in heaven enjoying herself. But we want to make sure that if you would like to sow a seed, that you could sow a seed into the Rhonda Jean House. Many people are wondering what that is. One of the great visions of Pastor Rhonda was taking care of pastors' wives. They are the most forgotten and actually the most abused in ministry. And what happened is she actually opened a ministry and literally was ministering to pastors' wives all over the world, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And her and I had at one point in time decided we were going to buy a place down in Florida, and we were going to open it up for pastors and pastors' wives to go down there for free and to be able to enjoy themselves. When she went on to be in eternity, then we wanted to move that into a legacy house. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I want to open 5 of them. Believe in God to open 5 Rhonda Jean houses. And what will they be? They will be a home that a pastor's wife, can, if she wants to take her husband, she can, but she don't have to. That she can go to Florida, wherever we buy the houses across the United States. She'll be able to go for a week. It'll be near the beach, so she'll be able to walk to the beach and just be refreshed. And Pastor Rhonda's new book, we are just finishing the workbook, and it's almost completely edited again. And we'll be releasing that in the next 2 months. And that book, all the proceeds, will go to paying for the airplane ticket for the pastor's wife to fly for free. So there'll be no cost for the pastor's wife to go down and feel special as they are, to let them know that they can take care of themselves and that they're loved. And even though Pastor Rhonda went to heaven, she's still loving on them right here through the love of Jesus. Amen. So if you would like to sow to that, there are envelopes. I believe they're green. It says seed envelope. And we are not going to have you march again. We're going to, on the way out, if you'd like to sow, you can drop it back there. Million is M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Amen. Hey, you just never know. Amen. Some of the richest people I know, you would never think. Amen. And you never know what vision will catch them. So if that's you, glory be to Jesus. If you're watching online, you can also give online. You can give text to give. RJH is for texting, and Rhonda Jean House is on the giving portion. So I just want to say on Mother's Day, thank you for honoring Pastor Rhonda.
She's been in heaven now, I believe, about 3.5 months, and she is having a great time. She's not bored, and by the way, she's not thinking about us either. So, but we love her, and we thank God for the impartation that she gave us all these years. Amen? What a great woman of God, and what she gave us, we refuse to let go. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I have a phenomenal opportunity, and that is to introduce to you my daughter-in-law. Now, Mindy, when she came into our family, I just want you to know we didn't want her. You know, Cody's our firstborn, and my wife really felt that Mindy wasn't good enough to be the wife of my son. By the way, she is a cougar too. We won't go there. Mindy had to work awful hard to be part of the family. And she did. And wow, were we wrong. Amen. What a phenomenal woman of God. What a phenomenal preacher. She just loves Jesus. She is, listen now, there is no frill and there is no shine. This woman is who she is. You don't have to wonder. She's going to tell you where the bear craps in the buckwheat. Glory to Jesus. She's just going to let you know why, because she loves God with all of her heart. There is no fake, no farce, and she is absolutely purely genuine. Please welcome with me, Mindy Spencer.
Amen. As I said, first service, before you're seated, I want you to jump back up on your feet. Today is a great day. It's not just another day. It's not just Mother's Day. This is the day we get to celebrate the Lord. Can we give a loud shout of celebration to the Lord today? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated today. And I can attest to everything that Pastor said is in fact the truth. There was no lying or twisting there. That was my life. But like I said, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the mother-in-law that I had. She was an amazing woman, and I'm thankful for her impartation and just her dedication to helping me become and step into all that God has for me. So I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful today my mom is here on the front row. So we celebrate her and my daughter, who's got a little scowl on her face. Pray for her. But I am so excited today. First service, I believe, was amazing. I just preached an incredible word for women on how to just be pure, delicate, sweet, and gentle little handmaidens for the Lord. That's what we are. No, I didn't do that. That's not my kind of message. So if you want that, that ain't here. Anyway. Anyway, we're going to get into this. I need the Lord's help. I really do believe, though, today it was a message that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago when I was told that I was going to get to preach, and I got excited about that. And then when the Lord told me what the topic was on, I was a little like, really? The first time that I preach at our church on a Sunday, you want me to preach about what? Okay, I'll do it. I love you. It's great. So if you have any qualms, take it up with the Lord. But I believe that this word today, I believe that it is for this time, and I really pray, and I ask you to really open your hearts and your minds and allow the Holy Spirit to just reveal, because ultimately, it's never to harm us, it's never to have us experience loss or pain, but to grow closer with Him. Amen? So I'm going to be reading out of Hebrews 4, 12 through 14 is the verse that we're going to be working out of. And it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked," and this is the big word and what we're hitting on, "and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account." And then in 1 Corinthians 4:5, It says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and to close the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Listen, I want to break this down for us today because I believe that the Lord, especially this word exposed, this is what he hit my spirit so strong. I was reading through Hebrews, and when I read this verse, a verse that I'm sure so many of us have read multiple times, it just struck me to the core, and it was exposed. I believe that the Lord today wants to expose our hearts truly for what they are, and for some of us, that can be scary. For some of us, that might seem painful. For some of us, it's something that is a decision we're going to have to make in order to step into the fullness of God's plan and destiny for our life. But he wants to do it not to bash us, not to condemn us or make us feel shame or to point fingers, but because he loves us so much, he wants to bring us to the next place and bring us in such a close proximity with him. And in order to do so, some things have to be removed from our hearts today. But what I want to touch on is deception. See, because I think a lot of the things that the Lord wants to expose us of are things that have been sent into our hearts and into our minds and our lives to deceive us. And that's, I think, one of the greatest plots and plans of the enemy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He hates you. He hates you because you're the very being of all creation that was created in the image and in the likeness of the Almighty God. And he can't stand you. He doesn't like you, not even a little bit. And he wants to bring deception to your life. See, I think that's his biggest way of waving a trophy in the face of God is saying, look at all those that I've deceived that sit in your house from week to week. Look at all those that I've deceived that believing that they're right with you because they come and they tithe and they worship and they do all these things. But man, boy, do they hold on to all those things within their hearts that I've planted. I don't want that deception to be your reality today. See, the devil, he's okay with us going to church. He's okay with us showing up and sitting in the same seat every week and, you know, how are you? And putting on that fake smile and smiling at people and throwing our money in the, you know, in the baskets. And he's okay with us coming up and lifting our hands and singing songs. And we sing songs like, oh, I surrender all and I give myself away. But really, it's only just a little bit what we feel like on that day. Well, I didn't really have a good morning, so I'll just give you a little bit today, Lord. Look at this. These are the types of deceptions that we grasp hold of and we hold on to because we have to justify why we are the way we are or with the things that we struggle with. See, these are deceptions. These are not truths. This is not what the word says about your life. This is not what your awesome God who loves you so desperately says about your life. See, the enemy doesn't care if you shout, if you're a leader in the church, if you're a pastor. He doesn't care if you speak in tongues and shout and jump up and down and praise God. But if you do nothing, it doesn't matter. If he can get you just deceived enough with half-truths and lies, then that's all he has to do. You can still come in. You can still sit down. You can still go through all the motions. You can make it look real good. You can post every verse of the day on Facebook, and it's not going to matter. Ultimately, it's going to bring you to destruction because of the deception that the enemy would so try to wrap around your eyes. And we've got to remove it because this is what he fears, is for people of God to be fully 110% surrendered to the Lord. Fully surrendered. Lord, whatever it is, it's yours. My life is yours. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. We say these things. We say that verse and we say it. And I believe that some of us, we mean it. We mean it because I believe we do love God. But somewhere along the way, we're not fully satisfied with God. So we hold on to these lies and we hold on to these half-truths and deceptions and we justify, we hold on to our justifications and we live our life day in and day out, going through motions, not fully surrendered to God, and we miss out on the fullness of his promises. And then we hit hard times, and then we wonder, and then we blame God. We blame God because of our own deception. So we need to get fully surrendered. See, the devil is the god of deception. He's the god of half-truths. Half-truths are lies. They're just enough to suck you in to make you believe something's true, but twisted enough to completely lead you astray. And that's why the path is narrow. That's why we have to stay focused, and our attention needs to stay fixated on the Lord. Can we get a fascination with Jesus? Can we get a fascination with his word? Because I'm telling you, when you start to read the word of God, you start to see the very character and the nature of who God is revealed to us. How would you not want that? How would you not want the God who heals all? Why would you not want the God who takes away every bit of pain, who died on a cross for you to take away all your offenses, all your wounds, all your mistreatment? Why would you not want that God? Why would you not want the God who says that he wants you abundantly blessed? Why would you not want that God? And he does all of it first out of a pure motive of loving us first. I mean, really grasp this. Jesus died on the cross. We were the joy set before him when he died, knowing that some would never accept him. That is real love. Are we willing to do that? Because a lot of times our love looks like, well, I'll love them, but this is my motive, is to get something in return. God doesn't do that. He loves us regardless. He loves us in the messiest, darkest moments, when we're at our ugliest, when we're at our farthest from him. He still loved us and he died for us, but he wants to bring us to a new place. We are in the end times. We cannot play games anymore. Why do we keep playing these religious games? Why do we show up here every week just to sit and hear the same old sermons and nothing's changed? We're not moved. We go home. We go to work. We go, you know, like, why do we do this? Don't you think there's more to life than that? I have no interest in religion. I have no interest in the politics of playing the games. I have no interest. I want to get fixated on the one who gave me life. I want to get fixated on the one who only one has the power to change who I am and has the ability to give me a life that's full of abundance. He came to bring life. My father-in-law's texting right now. Same old sermons. No, he has great sermons, but that's how we come in. But isn't it? We don't come with expectation. Oh, I'm going to church today. I'm going to sit here. Yep, amen, pastor. This is our face. Amen. So great. Yep. All right. Gotta go. God, love you. Gotta go. Same old sermon. See you next week. But my goodness, what would it look like, though, if we actually was like, Lord, you know what? Today's not going to be the same day. Today I'm going to come in and I'm going to meet with the King of Kings, the one who invites me in to his presence. I'm going to come and I'm going to meet with you. What other God invites you into his presence? What other God desires you when you come into his presence in return to give you more? What's wrong with us that we would not want that? It's the deceptions. It's the blinders on our eyes that need to be removed. And here, this is what it sounds like. These are the half-truths that all of us at one point or another have bought into. Well, I'm good because I read my Bible most days and, you know, I have, you know, the good feel-good music, Christian music on in my house. And, you know, I tithe and I'm really kind to people. And, you know, I don't always need to be at church because, I mean, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. He knows that, you know, summertime comes and we go on vacations a lot. And, you know, he knows that I don't have to be in church. I can watch online. Oh, and I'm going to step on toes. And I'm doing it out of a loving place, and I'm doing it because God's been stomping on mine. Okay, so I'm going to share the love here. And I'm only saying this not to condemn anyone. Can we get this together? Can we go to the new place together? Can we say, God, no more playing games. Let's reprioritize what he wants to do. But these are the half-truths that we do. We justify it by saying, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. And yes, that is true. But how terrifying, because the God who is, his word says that the God who sees all, we are completely naked and exposed before him. So we might be able to convince that person next to us with our cute little talk of like, well, I'm this and I'm that, and this is why it's okay. And, you know, this is why I don't have to do that. But God's up there saying, but no, I see it. I see it. Can't you just give that to me? Just hand it over. God sees it. He sees it. Well, you know, I'm a leader and I've gone through Bible college and now I'm a pastor. And you know what? It shouldn't be a big deal if I make mistakes because, my goodness, I'm only human too. Listen, that is a truth. Yes, we're all human. And I'm not preaching any of this out of the context of that we have to be perfect. And if we aren't, God's not going to accept us. That, please don't take that. None of us are perfect. But when we continually allow God to expose the things, when we're willing to give him all that's within our heart, allowing him to come in and change us and realign us and make us more like him according to his word, stuff starts to change. But we cannot hold on to that, well, I'm only human too, as an excuse to continue to live making mistakes and living in a way that doesn't please the Lord. That cannot be what we hold on to. Well, no one knows my thoughts, so as long as I don't speak it out, I'll be fine. Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So essentially, the things you think about, those perverted thoughts that cloud your mind all day long that you don't get a hold of, eventually they're in your heart and that's what's going to come out. The negative talk about what how you don't like that person and how they offended you and how they get under your skin all the time. When that's the thought that's constantly going through your mind, that's what's going to go in your heart and that's what's going to come out. See, it's important that we get control of even our thoughts, but we buy these lies that if I don't speak it out, I'm okay. Or simple things like that you've made too many mistakes. You're not really a good Christian. That God could never actually use you. You've gone too far. And this is a great one that's filtering through churches today. Well, his grace. But in the name of grace. I don't have to repent because his grace is enough. I can keep on living any way I want. I can keep living my life according to how I want and how it pleases me and what makes me comfortable. And I can say what I want and I can do what I want in the name of me and making me happy. Me, 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 I. We're so self-consumed and we've bought a lie that because his grace says is for us, that we take it like bratty little kids and we run with it and we use it as an excuse instead of the tool that it's meant to be to help us overcome and to stop the things that separate us from Jesus. Because that's what his grace is. His grace is giving us something that we do not deserve and saying, I've given you this tool to empower you to stay away from sin, to stay away from the things that would eventually cause you harm and destruction and that brings you closer to me. That's what his grace is. But it's a deception. See, the Bible warns us in Hebrews 3:12, and I want to read it real quick because it's so good. But it's a warning. It's a warning for those in the end times. It's a warning for those in the last days. And it talks about a great apostasy, which is just a great falling away. And the falling away isn't people who don't know Jesus. It's those of us right here in this room. It's his church. It's those who have served Jesus for 50 years, 20 years, 200 years. It doesn't matter. And this is what it says. Hebrews 3:12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. That is a warning. Can I encourage you to take that warning today? Take it and receive it in your hearts. Allow God to expose anything. And it's easy to sit here and think, well, I'm not evil. I don't worship Satan. I'm not doing sacrifices and, you know, around a pentagram, and I'm not doing weird things, and I'm not rubbing my crystals together, and, you know, I'm not doing all those things, so I'm not evil. But listen, anything that does not align with God's word, essentially, if we don't get rid of it, it's damning. It is evil. It does not, does not belong there. The Lord didn't put it there, so it doesn't belong there. We need to get rid of it. Is it unbelief? Do you come in here and you just come, but you don't believe? We've got to allow the Lord to remove these things so we're not deceived, because boy, would it be scary to hear the trumpet go off and so many of us are sitting around blinking, looking at each other like, wait, what? What happened? How am I here? I've come here every single week and I've sat in the same spot every single week for the last 65 years. How did I miss it? It's because of deception. Allow God to expose the things that was so desperately try to keep you deceived from what the word has to say. This is what happens when we abandon our union with Jesus and our hearts being fully turned towards him in faith. Fully surrendered. Fully surrendered. Because listen, this is what it looks like. Ready? We have something. I'm going to use this knife. Okay? This knife. And let's say this is an insecurity. Let's say this is pride. Let's say this is man-pleasing. Let's say this is jealousy. Let's say this is all of the deceptions that the enemy would try to keep harbored in your heart and cloud your judgment. So we come in here, and again, like I said, I believe that we really love Jesus. I believe that we have good intentions, but we come in here and we do this. We hold on to it behind our back. We come up front and we even kneel down and we get real spiritual and we cry and we raise our hand and we sing songs like, I surrender all, Lord. I give myself away. God, I give myself away. But yet we're clenching that insecurity, or we only see God through this insecurity or the pride or all the issues of our man pleasing. Well, or I'm just anxious and I'm depressed. Well, I'm just angry. And this is what we do. We hold on to it and we're not fully surrendered. So we hold on to it and we hold on to it and we hold on to it. And see, this is a deception that ultimately could really hurt you or somebody else. But God is saying, just leave it. Just leave it there. Just leave that insecurity there. I didn't make you insecure. I've made you like me. I've made you to look like me, to walk like me, to talk like me, to act like me. Why would you need to be insecure? This is what it looks like. What is that thing where I believe right now that the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, if you would allow him. And that's the key. We have to allow God. He's not going to force his way in. Boy, sometimes I wish that he would. Because willingness can be painful. A willingness to say, God, I know there's a lot of ugly in there, but I'm willing for you to come in. I invite you in to search out my heart and remove everything that's in there that's not of you. It can be painful. But boy, does it produce such joy and such peace and such freedom. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants for you today. He wants you to experience and encounter his love first and foremost, but a freedom that you've not yet had in him. But it's because we've abandoned our first love. We've abandoned our union and our relationship and our desire with Jesus. And he wants to expose our hearts. See, the word of God says it is living and active. The word is like a mirror. And this word, his word that's perfect, that's pure, that's honest, that's true, that's never changing, it's not shifting, it doesn't change with the culture, it doesn't change with the time. It was established at the beginning of the earth and will remain forever. It is what establishes everything as so, and it explains the very essence, the character, the nature, and the promises of God. It exposes his heart to us. And in return, it exposes our heart according to the word. Where are we at? See, what does it look like if we're looking in the mirror? This is our mirror. What does it look like when we look at it, when we read it? Because the Lord will start to put his finger on those things in your life. But again, here comes that willingness. Are you willing to be exposed? It's the highest form of truth. It allows us to see God and also allows us to know the plans and the purpose for our own life. And it is discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, and no creature, nobody is hidden from his sight. So although our husband or our wife might not know, or our kids, or our best friend, or the people we work with, or our pastors, God knows. God sees all things. He knows, and everything is exposed. We're already exposed. We are already exposed, and this is the thing that he exposes, the deepest places of our hearts and our thoughts, our intentions, our desires, our appetites, our will, our motives. It is meant to judge if these things are worthy or unworthy. So what are these things? What are these deceptions that God wants to expose? He wants to expose insecurity. He wants to expose pride. The sin which is simply missing the mark. That's all that sin is. God doesn't say do these things to bring harm or to take away any fun. He doesn't want you to miss the mark. The mark is him. Everything that we need is in him. He doesn't want you to miss it. So the sin that separates us from his presence because it can't stand in the presence of a holy God, he wants to remove it. What is it? Idleness, sitting around, laziness, doing nothing, gossip, shame, man-pleasing. Can we stop there for a second? Boy, everything we do comes down to who we're pleasing and who sees us and how we get celebrated and look at us. And if we don't have this many likes or this many shares, well, then we're a failure. And if that person did acknowledge me, then I must not be doing it right. And if it doesn't look like them, then something's wrong with me. And we've gotten to this place where now we strive so desperately to be seen and noticed by man. And listen, man is one day celebrating you and the next they're bashing you. God is the one who sees. God is the one who hears you. God is the one who it matters that we're pleasing. What freedom in that is there? I love you all, but there's freedom knowing that I don't have to please not a single one of you. But I get to make sure that if I'm doing what God has called me to do, according to what he's laid out for my life, that I make him happy and he's pleased with me. And there's a genuine joy that's reciprocated when you fully step into the freedom of not being a man pleaser. The desire to be seen and heard and affirmed constantly. Comparison. We look at everyone else's life and we get all mad and bent out of shape. Jealousy. Rage. You know, are you a nice Christian person when you're here and so kind to everyone and worshiping God and praising him and, oh, I love you, Jesus, but you get home and you're a monster to everybody else, to your kids. You're abusive verbally or physically. Come on, these are secret things that maybe not everyone knows, but God knows them and he wants to expose them today. Depression, anxiety, independence. Come on, my independent ladies. I can't even do it anymore. You know, I was all on that. I'm an independent woman. Bandwagon for a really long time. You know, I'm strong. I don't need nobody. But then the Lord really got to my life. And I realized 110% that I cannot do it. And in fact, I'm a train wreck without him. So your independence, is it something that's stopping you from fully going all in with the Lord because you think, oh, I can do it on my own. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I don't need anybody. No, you need the Lord. Control. All my control freaks out there. Can I get a witness? OCD, where are we at? Don't raise your hand. I'm joking. But listen, until we relinquish the control or the constant need of controlling of everything, we tie God's hands. We tie his hands. Bitterness, unforgiveness, obsessions. We're so obsessed with so many things and so many different types of people that we become bound by man because we're obsessed with who they are or what they're doing and what their ministry is or because they're famous or because they're this or things. We obsess over things. What is that obsession? Racism. Passivity. We won't take hold of anything because we're just so passive. What are the things? And listen, there might be something that's not on this list. I know there's a plethora of things. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you what's in your heart. Religion. Ulterior motives. Listen, and I shared this first service, and I'm going to share it again. So, I have a wonderful husband. Oh, yeah, so wonderful. I love him so much, and I think he's the funniest man in the whole world. So yesterday, you know, it's Mother's Day, it's Woman's Day. We have a church softball team, okay? I'm excited for all of you who love it. I personally think it's boring. But anyway, he likes to do it, so I'm like, whatever, you can do it Friday night, fine. So Saturday comes around, and then all of a sudden there's a game on Saturday. And he's like, you know what, but I'm not going to go to the game. I'm going to sacrifice going to the game to take you on a date. It is, right? All right, sit down. You don't know what's coming. Anyway... So we go on this nice date, we go to dinner, and before we're getting to dinner, because I told him, he's like, make sure you tell the whole story, I'm telling it, okay? As we're driving, we're figuring out where to go, he's like, well, where do you want to go? I'm like, I don't know, I don't think we have to do anything too crazy today, because later on, I do need to take some time to finish getting my notes together, because I'm a little nervous, because they're not together yet. He's like, okay. So we go eat. We eat. Okay. Listen, you guys always are like, I don't sound like that, okay? So, we go eat, and it was good. And then after, he's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. Let's go to Target, because who doesn't love just mindlessly walking around Target? So we walk in. I go, and I find the thing that I was going to, you know, I wanted to get. And he's like, you know, very discreetly, like, moving me towards the checkout, right? Like, we've been in there for 2 seconds, and he's like, walk. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, aren't you done? And I'm like, no, we haven't even walked around or anything. Like, so we go and we walk around, and I can tell he's, like, got this, like, hurry her up here. And then we walk by the men's department, and he is looking at these, like, athletic T-shirts, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you looking at this? And he's like, well, the one I have for softball, it's kind of thick, and I just need, and I'm just thinking, like, why? Why is he looking at this right now? And so then we look and we leave and we're driving and we're heading in the direction of home. And I'm like, what are we doing? Where are we going? He's like, well, you wanted to go home and prepare for tonight, right? And I'm like, we've been gone for a little over an hour. I am not going home yet. And then I sat there for a second. I was like, I looked at the time and it was about 5:45. And I was like, wait a minute. You're trying to go to the softball game. And he got this big dumb smirk on his face. Like, well, no. I figured I could play so you could prepare for tomorrow. So, needless to say, he played his game and interrupted our date night with a softball game. But I did get my notes done. He wins with the notes. But ultimately, I just want to show that, you know, the Lord wants to expose ulterior motives, okay? So I'm thankful, and I pray, you know, I'm thankful for, like, the whole day that I'm going to be getting on a date soon. So praise God. But really, these are the things, and these are the things that we filter everything through. These are the things when it becomes, it's the first thought of your day and it's the last thought at night before you lay your head down. It's what you base every decision off of. These are the things that become idols in our life. These are the things that we now worship instead of God. These are the things, these deceptions and these lies from the enemy are the things that God wants to expose and remove that cannot stand in his presence. And I believe that today, right here, right now, I want to encourage you, don't leave with that thing still harbored in your heart. Don't leave holding on to the thing that ultimately is going to bring you pain. Let it go. Don't walk out of it down, holding behind you. You know, don't sit here. Respond. That's the whole point of his word. It draws us to respond to him. It is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, that draws us in. It's his goodness, and he is good. And he doesn't want to do it to embarrass us or to shame us. See, I love David because David really is a perfect example for this exact thing. He lived a life exposed before the Lord. He lived a life. It says, excuse me, that David was a man after God's own heart. That means that he was so willing to say, God, I come before you. I worship you. I acknowledge you as King and Lord over all things. I acknowledge that my life is nothing without you. Look in my heart. Remove all things. Search me out. And he says this in Psalm 51:10. It says, and this was right after he had like done some crazy sin, slept with a married woman, got her pregnant, killed her husband. Okay? We ain't never done that, okay? I pray to God none of us have done that. I don't really know. That's between you and the Lord. But anyway, Psalm 51:10. It is so, listen, this has become, and I'm not, this is something that I genuinely try to pray every day. I start my day, and this is my heart's cry to God every day, is this exact thing that David prayed to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then he goes on to say in Psalm 139, 24, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You want to get to the place where you have everlasting life. You have a fullness of joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. You're the head and you're not the tail. You're walking healthy, whole and healed, and you're fulfilling God's purpose. How you get there is by being exposed before the Lord on a consistent basis, saying, God, come and check me. Come and check my motives. Come and check my intentions. Am I doing this for you or am I doing it for personal gain? Am I doing this for you or am I just trying to be noticed? Am I doing this for you? God, come and check my heart. Check my heart. Make a pure heart, clean heart, that it may be pleasing to you. That should be our prayer. And I desire that for us today, that you would make that your prayer today, that you would allow the Holy Spirit, the God who's so majestic, the God who's so good, the God who does all things because of his love for us, that you would allow him to come in and expose the deceptions and allow him to remove them from your life today, wholeheartedly, withholding nothing genuinely. Can we put some truth and reality to these songs that we sing, or are they just songs? Can we come up here wholeheartedly, weeping before the Lord, ready to step into holiness, ready to step into saying, God, I'm fully surrendered. It's not my life, it's yours. I give myself away to you. Use my life. Paul said, I pour my life out as a drink offering. He was willing to say, no matter the cost, God, I belong to you, and every facet and being of everything that I do is yours. I want to be like that. How about you? See, I believe for some, he wants to start just exposing the separation and the lack of relationship because you don't know him yet. You know, some of you, this is your first time. Maybe you were just asked to come because it's Mother's Day and you're just here to make your mama happy. Listen, you're not here by accident. I don't believe that you're here by accident. I don't believe that you just happen to stumble in and this is just what we do. I believe that this is a divine word of the Lord for your heart today. He desires you so desperately because he loves you so desperately. Everything, the very core and nature of who God is love. It's love. Before he ever wants to correct us or, you know, bash us or any of those things, he wants to love us. He wants to bring us closer to him. He wants to reveal himself more to us. And it's out of love. But I think for some, he's exposing that void, that separation of a lack of relationship. For others, I believe he wants to expose the lifestyle of sin that's only kept you from hitting the mark. Hitting the mark is Jesus. Jesus is the mark. I believe for others, he wants to, and I think for most of us, he wants to expose the lies and the deceptions that we've bought for too long, and he wants to strip us of those things today. And in return, it's not that he takes them. In return, he gives us that joy. He gives us a new strength. He gives us power by his Holy Ghost. He gives us a greater love. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us wisdom. These are the things in exchange for what we give him. He just wants to expose it because his love and his affection for you are undeniable, and he proves it through his word. He proves it again and again through his word. And ultimately, this is where it's supposed to lead us, and this is what I love. Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." See, when we allow God to expose those things in our hearts and we willfully lay them all down and say, "God, I want you. I desire you." He invites us in to his throne room, to the throne of grace. What is that grace? It's the strength that we need to overcome all things. It's the victory that he's already given us. It is that joy. It is that peace. It's greater fulfillment of the plot and plan for your life. It's wisdom. It's forgiveness. It's power. That's what he has for you when you can approach the throne of grace. And this is what I love about the throne. See, the throne where he is seated is the ultimate place of authority and power. That's where all things are judged in front of. It's where he wants you to encounter. And I don't know any other king that so desires to invite you into that place. And it says we can come boldly. That means we don't have to be ashamed or afraid or timid and shy and scared and saying, "Well, maybe God, could you do this?" No, it says, then you can make your request known to him in time of need. What do you have need of? What do you have need of today? What is the thing you're seeking breakthrough in? What is the area you need healing in? Where do you need to see the power of God break off, you know, crazy things that have happened in your life? That's what he desires. He says, come and tell me the things that you desire. You can come boldly and approach me. Kids, I'm going to use my kids. Kids have no shame in asking boldly for everything and anything. My kids will ask hundreds of times a day with no, "I wonder if mom will say yet." "Nope, mom, can I have this? Mom, I really want this. Mom, can we do this? Mom. But listen, honestly, it's a great picture of exactly how we can be with the Lord. When we're fully exposed, when we're fully submitted, when we're fully surrendered to the Lord, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the name that's above every name, the one who died for us, the one who set us free, the one who gives us life and life more abundantly. Listen, this is where he wants you. Why would we not want to do that? Why would we not be rushing to the altar to fully give ourselves to God when all he's done is to bring victory to our lives, when he's come to heal us of every sickness and every disease, when he's come to crush Satan and destroy the lies of the enemy that would try to keep you in deception? Listen, I don't know about you. I want to give it all to the God who gave it all for me, that not just gave it for me, but has more and more and more and more. He's healed you once. He wants to do it again, and he wants to do it again, and he wants to do it again. He's made you whole. He wants to set you free. He wants to take you from victory to victory to victory. He wants you to walk in great prosperity, that you can be a blessing to those around you. Why would we not be rushing and saying, "God, here I am. Here I am. God, expose everything. Search out my heart. I lay it down to you today, because God, ultimately, thank you for all these things. But ultimately, I know that when I'm in your presence, there is fullness of everything that I could ever need. It is in your presence that I don't ever want to leave. God, may I never go where your presence doesn't take me." What would it look like in your life if everything was stripped away and removed that wasn't meant to be there? What would it look like for your marriage? What would it look like for your family, your kids, the ones that aren't serving the Lord around you and in your family, your workplace? What would it look like for where we live if every single person in here was so desperate for the things of God, was so fascinated and undone for God, and had such a love for him, what would it look like? But the sad part is some of us will leave here today with the same way they came in. They'll be bound by the same obsessions, the same addictions, the same constant nagging thoughts that overwhelm them day in and day out, seeking freedom. But until you lay it down, you can't attain that. He invites us to come boldly. But I believe today he wants to invite you. He's asking you to approach him with boldness today. And I'm going to wrap up with this. I believe he wants us to step back into a place of holiness. Not perfection, but holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is the power and the distinction that sets us apart from the rest of the world. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Holiness is simply living according to his word. Fully being surrendered in your heart and allowing him to remove the things that don't impress him, that are offensive to him, that can't stand in his presence, because sin can't stand, sickness can't stand, loss can't stand, pain can't stand, insecurities, they can't stand in the presence of a perfect, holy God. But he's not just a perfect, holy God who sits on his throne to judge. He's a loving Father who loves you so desperately. His only motive, his motives and his intentions are to know you and to be in relationship with you as his son and as his daughter. It's time that we remove the deception and allow God to expose us, that we may step into a new level of relationship with him and a new level of holiness. And I believe that when we do that, great things are going to start to take place in your families and in your lives. Because that's what his word says. Those who live holy lived blessed lives. So I want to make some calls. So if everyone can bow their heads and close their eyes. See, I know some in here, you're not, like I said, I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you all service, and he's just revealing to you and exposing to you the void that's been there that he wants to fill, and only he can fill. No man, no woman, no amount of money, no thing, no accolades of man could ever fill the void that only he can fill. And I believe that he wants to be in relationship with you and desires you because he loves you. He loves you so desperately that he died for you and he rose again. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, praying and interceding for us. But the first step into really stepping into the fullness of God and being able to approach him is to know him. So if you're in here and you've never accepted or invited Jesus into your heart or into your life, you've never confessed him as Lord, I want to give you opportunity to do so. So if that's you, nobody's looking around, make this personal between you and the Lord. I want you to raise your hand up high in this place if you're ready to give your heart to Jesus, the one who loves you so desperately. I'll give it another second. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. Raise your hand high. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I see your hand. You can put it down. Thank you, Jesus. And for everyone else, you can just go ahead and stand. Make this a holy moment today, because the presence of God is here. His anointing is here, and his anointing breaks the yoke and the power and the deception. But there's got to be a willingness. So I want to encourage you today. Don't leave here with what you came in. Don't leave here with the same insecurities or pride or whatever it is. I know that the Holy Spirit, because the preaching of the word, it does what it is sent to do. And I believe that he's already begun to show you. those insecurities, those things that try to deceive you that he wants to remove and expose. So I want to encourage you right now. I don't want to make this about anything else. This is between you and a holy God. I want to invite you to come and make this moment special. Make this a holy moment, a changing point in your life of stepping in to all that God has for you, and be ready. For those that are ready to allow God to expose what's in their heart, I want to invite you, just make your way right up to the altar. This isn't about us coming up and laying hands and shouting. I love that. It's great. But sometimes I think there's a holy moment where only God can do it. Only God can remove and speak to us and touch our hearts in such a way that no man can do it. So I want to invite you, just come up and make it personal. Be completely surrendered to the Lord and begin to pour out and cry out. Let that be your prayer. Oh God, search out my heart. Create a new heart within me. Search out and remove. Allow him and invite him to remove anything that's offensive to him. And I believe freedom's going to overwhelm you today. I believe that his love is going to overwhelm you today. I believe that breakthrough is coming to your life today. And that I believe that when you leave here today, you're going to see a noticeable difference and you're never going to be the same again. So if you raised your hand for salvation and you want to get your heart right, I want you to just go ahead and make your way right over here to Jamisha. She has a Bible for you. She wants to pray with you and kind of let you know what's next. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to invite you. I'm going to pray, and I want to just invite you. We're going to worship for the next couple of minutes, and I don't want you to leave here until you feel that you've fully given every single thing there is. And for some of us, it might be a lot. I remember sometimes it is a lot, but that's okay. There's freedom that comes. There's freedom that comes. So Holy Spirit, right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that right now you're drawing every heart, no matter the age, man or woman, child or old, Father, that right now you so desperately desire to know them and to expose the things in their heart, to remove it. And Father, I pray that those who come fully surrendered to you, that you would overwhelm them right now with a fire from heaven, your power, that freedom would be what replaces all hurts, that they'd walk in victory, that Father, if it's healing in their body, that you'd begin to touch their bodies right now and bring healing and wholeness, that you'd mend the broken heart. Father, whatever needs to occur and take place in exchange, Father, just have your way. Have your way. And Father, thank you for bringing us into a place of holiness, set apart, made more like you, Jesus. Let that be our heart's cry today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I just want to see your face.
it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all.
God, of being in your presence. We honor you, Holy Spirit, for meddling in our lives. We thank you that you love us so much, you don't want to leave us the same. God, you only have greatness for us. You only have the best for us. I pray that we'll be able to see that, even at times when we're uncomfortable, while you're putting your finger on something in our lives. We ask not only for the strength to overcome, but we ask in the name of Jesus that we will yield, because we know that you have greater things for us if we surrender what we have tethered ourselves to the world. We thank you for the honor again of being where you are, Jesus, right here in your presence. If you're at the altar, you don't need to get up. If you need to go, we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for being here on Mother's Day, on Women's Day. We'll remind you, next Sunday, we have a prophet coming in. First time I brought in a prophet in 5 years. He's from South Africa. You do not want to miss him. It is going to be a powerful. It's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. He is very, very accurate in the prophetic, and you don't want to miss what God has to say to you. So if you've ever or not ever experienced a prophet, a true fivefold ministry gift prophet, you want to be here next Sunday. And bring people, because I know that when God starts to reveal, God starts to heal. Amen. Ladies, we have another gift for you. If you didn't get your, where do we have one up here? Yep, here we go. If you didn't get your book, make sure you grab it on the way out. Get up, dress up, show up. Pastor Rhonda's, that's actually her signature. And if you would like that you can have those on the way out, ladies. All ladies, not just mothers, but all ladies. And then also, we have the children's ministry has a carnation with you, and the children did something special for all the ladies in the church. We love you. Have an amazing day. And don't forget, next Sunday, if you're bored on Thursday, which you all should be bored on Thursday, rock solid faith. We have women's Bible study. We have Sherry's Bible study. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have His Kids. We have Uproar Youth Ministry. There's everything for everybody on Thursday evening. I love you. Have an awesome day in the presence of Jesus.